Thank you, Lord. This is Wednesday afternoon, a little early today, 2:17:21. We're still looking at the book of Revelation, a no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation. The title of this is The Marks of the Beast, Part 2. What is Satan's call sign? Satan's call sign. John 10:10 tells us what his call sign is. Steal, kill, destroy. And how does he do that? What is his M.O.? Fear. Satan's M.O. is fear. Matthew chapter 6 identifies the two masters. We're going to look at that. The reason that I guess the Lord gave me the title for this, A No-Nonsense Look at the Book of Revelation, because it seems like it's one of the most misunderstood books in the Bible. And most people have, or lots of people have written books about it, and they made it even more and make even more less sense than normal. And so nothing against them, but I believe in these end days, God has made it clear to us what he's doing in the earth, and he wants us to know the times and the seasons so that we won't be duped. We won't miss what he's doing. And that's why he, as we looked last week at the seals, that's why he is unsealed for this time. Okay. All right, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So he's saying, if you love one, you'll hate the other. People that love God hate the devil. People that love the devil hate God. But it's not just that. It's the agenda behind it. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. First, rattle out of the box. Satan's M.O. is to get you to take thought for your life. God's modus operandi is take no thought for your life. What you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? As we can see, Satan wants all your attention to be on this natural world, what's going on in your body. You can see that in the world's the beast system today. It's all about, oh, you better do your health care and you better do all these things. It's just so tedious that you're only aware of you all the time. But God's just the opposite. He doesn't want us taking care for anything. He wants us to have all our focus on for his care. In other words, casting our care. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. See, all of creation doesn't take care. Just watch it. Just sit and watch nature and watch what they do. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, if God can take care of animals and nature, he says, how much better are you over that he'd take care of you? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven? Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying. At first he said, take no thought for your life. Then he says, take no thought, saying. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. See, this is the way of the system, the Gentiles. They take care for everything. They're wrought up in care about everything. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first. See, God wants your thoughts upon Him, listening to Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We are to be consumed with following Him in His ways. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So He wants us to live for the day and make the most of the day and His plan for the day. This is how the people of the world have come to this point in time. They have been herded like sheep to the slaughter, and it's all come about by fear tactics. And the biggest one of them is fear, which all of his tactics are rooted in. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, we are not ignorant of his devices. This is what devices is. It means the intellect. So this is how Satan comes against us. Just what we read in Mark 6. Through our intellect, our soul, our thinking processes. So this device of Satan will come through our intellect, our thinking processes, where we reason. Okay, where we reason. How did he come against Eve in the garden? Genesis chapter 3. He caused her to reason against what God had said. He has not changed his tactics since that time. He's still using it against mankind today. Instead of taking God at his word and obeying it, Satan caused her to reason. Hath God said? When you reason, you become double-minded, knowing one narrative, God's, but entertaining what the devil says. So you know what God says about something, but Satan comes at you to get you to reason so he can trick you, get it away from you. Fear causes you reason. It causes you to take care of yourself, and when you do that, you leave God out because he wants to take care of you. He's our shepherd. He's leading us. Faith causes you to look to God for everything. Philippians 4:19, for my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can you see how the beast has marked us? We are just like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They had no heart toward God. All they cared about was getting their needs met. They started reasoning about where, well, there's no water. We want water. Then we want bread. Then we want meat. Didn't matter what, it wasn't ever enough. They had no heart toward God. All they cared about was getting their needs met. Now we see why only Joshua and Caleb received the true riches and the younger re-educated generation. This is going on right now in our nation. Leaving Babylon is leaving the beast and his marks on our lives. We're coming out of the Babylonian system. We're coming out of the mark of the beast. Just like the slaves in Egypt came out of Babylon, or came out of Egypt, Babylon also, but also out of Egypt. They were marked. That's why when Moses went up into the mountain, what happened? They started acting where they'd come from. They forgot all about God and made them a golden calf. What does that symbolize? The world system. The golden calf. Let's look to the golden calf Most people, even Christians, run to the golden calf for their answers. All the experts of the world. All right. These following scriptures will help us stay away from the care bearer snare and to stay in faith and peace. We're just going to look at a few. Matthew 18 is the first one. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So if you can just get two people to agree, you don't have to have a multitude. Did Joshua and Caleb agree? Yeah. What did it do? Well, they had to wait, but it gave them youth renewal, and then they went in and inherited. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. All right, John 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. See, that's the problem that we have. Is we know what the word says, but then here comes Satan immediately to take the word and get us to leaning towards that kind of thinking. Whatever we need or desire is already here. It's already here. God made it in Genesis 1. He's not going to rain down pennies from heaven. We know that. God does not do that. It's already here. All of it is here already. Everything that the earth is, he has given to man, and it is already here. It's a matter of us demanding it back. Who's stolen it? The beast. The beast has been stealing from us since we were born. God has already placed it here for us to receive. We'll look at that. Genesis 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Must be pretty good, because the beast has seized all our gold and had it hidden in the Vatican all these many hundreds of, maybe thousands of years, in other places around the world. $34 quadrillion or gold in gold bullion just was retrieved from the Vatican this past year. And the gold of that land is good. There's Bedlam and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia, and the name of the third river is Hiddekel. This is that which goeth toward the east of Assyria, in the fourth river Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And then he goes on to instruct him about the one tree he wasn't to touch. But the point is, he has given everything for man. The earth is given to man. That's why I wonder, why can people not realize that the rapture theory is exactly what it is? You want to talk about conspiracy theorists? That's the biggest conspiracy theorist that has ever happened in this earth, is the rapture conspiracy theorist. The earth God has given to man, and he wants his man to reign on this earth. He would not be making a new heaven and a new earth if he wanted us to all be caught up and stay in heaven. He'd be doing the reconstruction and building in heaven. I'd say mansions in heaven are just a waiting station until the end. It doesn't make any sense to me. The Word of God does not back it up, but I'll tell you what, they'll argue you to the ground over that. God wants you here. He put it all here for you now. When we all get to heaven. It just won't get any better until we get to heaven. What about heaven on earth? Isn't that what we're supposed to be praying? His kingdom come, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Why would we pray heaven and earth if we're not going to be here? Why? It's become a pet peeve of mine about the rapture theory. You know, when we were young in the Lord, we didn't believe in the rapture theory. When did we get so stupid? We come along certain types of people that we agreed with in one area, and they pushed that theory, and so we just kind of accepted it, hook, line, and sinker, because we revered the people. Yeah. I'm so thankful that God shows us the truth. Unfortunately, in most cases, we will have to demand it back from the beast. He's an illegal. You talk about the illegal alien? He is the king of illegal aliens. That's a big thing in our culture today about the left always wanting to flood illegals. Well, doesn't it make sense? Satan's an illegal. So he wants more of his kind to come in and do more stealing and killing and destroying. That's Satan's agenda right there. That's the beast system agenda right there. Yeah. He's been tramping on your stuff your whole life. Illegally. No longer let him mark your life. Look for the marks of the beast. And when you see it, kick him out. All right, we're going to look at some more scriptures here. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaving an inheritance to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. It's all here. God wants us to take it. Not take somebody else's, but take what is ours. Isn't that what Nasara is going to be? I even heard today that they're looking at not just days now, but hours. For this thing to kick in, and especially concerning the humanitarian projects. They have unlimited funds to pay for anybody that wants to. They can request an application and fill out an application as long as it qualifies and there's no fraud, there's no pedophilia, there's no illegal activity connected to it. Honest people that want to start humanitarian funds to help people, they'll give them the money. Legitimately proven that they are actually on the right, they will release those funds to those people. That's hours away. And I want to say something else. From the very beginning, what the Lord told me about the COVID, the purpose of the COVID, it's still the same agenda. They pulled 100 children up out of D.C. under the White House. 100 children. Some women had been there. They were in their 60s and 65. They'd been there for 35 years in prison, down in there. I'm just going, oh, God. We've been so blind, so caught up with ourselves, seeing about our needs, that we didn't mean to do it. We didn't mean to not be aware. But that's just how the beast has had us all duped. God doesn't have anything but abundance for his children. And these humanitarian projects, if you've got a heart that you want to give and you want to help people, they'll fund you to do it. Say you want to, you've got a piece of land and you want to make a community garden for the whole community there. They'll fund it for you. Set it up, the agriculture or whatever that you need. Probably instruct you how to do it if God lays it on your heart. So the whole neighborhood can come and just, oh, we need salad, you know, stuff for our salad. I don't know all the things. Make sure children that have been ravaged by the devil, stolen away from their families, have a warm house to sleep in at night and a warm blanket to wrap up in. I can't even imagine the horror they've been through. And thinking nobody would ever come. And for a lot of them, nobody did. God's rescuing his children. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Matthew 12:29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Mark 3:27 is really the same scripture. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. You know, we do that on a personal level, but maybe we need to do it on a global level, a national level. Demand that everything that Satan has stolen from the citizens of the United States for America be restored. That's what Nasera is. That's what Jesera is going to be for the rest of the world. What has God said? What God said is yours is just for the asking. All his promises are already yes and amen. He will show you how to retrieve it. It's not in heaven. It is here and the devil is holding it. How much gold alone did they find in the Vatican? I already told you that. 34 quadrillion. All these shortages and just these false flag events are to fearmonger. But there are no shortages of anything in the earth. Just like there's no shortage of electricity. We just got crooked people running things. And they are bent on doing Satan's agenda to kill, steal, and destroy. They don't care about you any more than the devil cares about you. The sad part is the devil's not going to excuse them either. He'll take them down too. He just uses people. Okay, Proverbs 8:12. I think that's, well, let's just look. Proverbs 8:12. Yeah. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. There is no telling with the light being released and the darkness going, the inventions that are going to happen, the ideas that are going to flow freely when the oppression is gone, the things that God's going to put on our hearts to do and give us knowledge of for the good of others, to take the gospel, to see to people, see to needs. See, the first church was like that. Witty inventions weren't just for Tesla. Yeah. How do you think the devil has stolen so much? You think he's that smart? He's a low-life thief, and all he does is piggyback on God's children. He didn't create anything. He didn't create anything. God has given his children knowledge of witty inventions, and the devil's bunch stole it and have become rich off of it. Just take a look at Congress. Satan's children for sure. We're looking at generations of swamp creatures in D.C. All they do is kill, steal, and to destroy. They do not care. They're crooks. They know about all the children down under the White House and under the Capitol. Those tunnels go for probably hundreds of miles. In fact, they have trains that connect all these big, huge, and there's big cities underneath too. All this has been going on right under our feet. This is what they've stolen from us, anti-gravity technology, free energy. I'm talking a little box this size in your home, powers everything, costs you nothing. You don't have to plug anything in anymore. And it's been around for 100 years. Cures. Our biblical transcripts. 711 books of the Bible. And much more. The beast stole it all and marked it as his own. Confiscated it. Another thing you can observe concerning his children, they have entitlement issues. Why do you suppose that is? We've let them steal everything from us. The church has been complacent. Well, no more. Not the new church. There's a new age flowing into town, the kingdom age. And God's kids, those that he knows he can trust, who have been walked through the fire and been proven. Yeah, it's going to be a different world. Okay, we are marked by our Heavenly Father, not by the beast. We looked at the seals last week. Now that our eyes are open, we can plainly see what they have been doing to us for 6,000 years. Okay, we're going to start. This is the Revelation part of it. Revelation chapter 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east and having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. We're marked by God, not the beast. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I'm nearly finished with the book about the lost tribes. They say that the man in the book that wrote this book, he said that the United States of America is the biggest conglomeration of God's lost tribes, the biggest place in the earth. Is it any wonder why God feels about the USA the way it does? It's not that we protect physical Israel. It's because most of his kids, the scattered tribes, live here. They live here. So, and I've taught before that the 12,000 is more symbolic because of this New Jerusalem coming out of heaven and the measurements of that city, because the tribes are multitudes that can't be numbered. All right, he sealed them out of the 12 tribes of Israel here. Judah, 12,000. Reuben, 12,000. Gad, 12,000. Asher, 12,000. Nephilim, 12,000. Manasseh, 12,000. Simeon, 12,000. Levi, 12,000. Issachar, 12,000. And Zebulun, 12,000. Joseph, 12,000. Benjamin, 12,000. I mentioned last week, Manasseh, actually, on the presidential seal, it shows the eagle with has arrows and olive branches, and it's the sign of the tribe of Manasseh. Okay. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne. These are the scattered lost tribes. How did they get so scattered? Babylon. They got scattered because God's people didn't follow God, and they got scattered throughout the earth and ravaged here and there. All right, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they that came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." These are the lost tribes. Not just natural Israel. I think we've been sold a bill of goods on that too, because there are many in Israel that are not as they appear. They are Jews, and they say they're Jews, but they are not. The Phoenician line, they're the ones that are the bloodline families. They're the Mossad. They're the bad dudes, and they worship Satan. You see it all through. If you read the Old Testament, you will see how Israel, even the priest in the temple in the book of Ezekiel, were worshiping all these gods, turning their rear ends to the Holy of Holies and bowing down to other gods. And God let Ezekiel look through the hole in the wall to see what was going on. Same thing been going on here, all underground. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more sorrow. So, the seals are open. God's people are sealed. And now we begin to see. Chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So the trumpets, what do they signify? I believe they signify what they've been doing to us for 6,000 years. You could probably put any false flag of it, and it probably would fit in this chapter. Everything that the devil's done. Verse 3 says, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there were given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If we hadn't have started praying, I think we'd still be asleep. There's always been those that have been awake. They've been the watchmen on the walls that nobody listened to. But for the most part, the prayers of the saints, the church began to wake up, the church began to pray. And now the revelation of what they've been doing, what the devil's been doing since he came to earth, look what happened. I mean, we're going to begin to see what they've been doing. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. See, these prayers are not insignificant. And the angel took, okay, I read that. The seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. To me, these are warnings. What do trumpets blast? It usually declares an event, like the war trumpet, or like the feast of trumpets. They blow the shofars. These trumpet blasts are showing you what's been going on. Their shenanigans, what they've been doing right under our feet, and we didn't even know it. All right. The first trumpet. The first angel sounded, and there followed hell and fire mingled with blood, and there were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. That signifies scorched earth. The cabal, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, Satan's puppets, they have been using the scorched earth policy for 6,000 years, not just in the wars like World War I, but what they do is go in and they rape the land. That's why we have been in, that's what the president, President Trump, he was trying to get us out of all these endless wars, 19 years in Afghanistan, and they've not done, it's not done any good but kill our servicemen and women. Does the deep state care? No, because they're running drugs out of there. The poppy fields in Vietnam, whatever. I guess it was in Vietnam. All these wars, what did it do? It raped the land, pillaged the land. Took out every resource possible. And the children were probably the biggest resource. Women, human trafficking. That's been going on all these many thousands of years. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures were which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Well, I put here World War II because it is a fact, a third of all ships were destroyed in World War II. Like I said, you could put lots of things in here. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became Wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they made it bitter. Well, Chernobyl in Russian means Wormwood. That nuclear reactor went off. I mean, there's people still suffering and dying from Chernobyl. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was spent, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. And remember, I've told you about the 33. That's a skull and bones Illuminati symbol, and it represents the one-third Freemasonry. Okay, and the third part of them was dark, and the day shone not for a third day of it, and the night likewise. I put here the Gulf War, when the Kuwaiti oil fields were burning. You couldn't see the sky even at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It looked like 12 o'clock midnight. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of three angels which are yet to sound. What does Satan do? What are we talking about? What is the real subject of this? The beast, the marks of the beast. What are his marks? Kill, steal, destroy. Scorched earth is completely destroying, completely killing, completely stealing everything in its wake. That's all the wars have been. And the fifth angel sounded, chapter 9, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. That's the underworld. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. In those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. I put here corona. You know, the thing that you have to understand, this is telling the story three times. The seals is telling the story, it ends in Armageddon. The trumpets are telling the story, it ends in Armageddon. God's vials is telling the story, it ends at Armageddon. Three stories. And they had hair as the hair of women, their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. The reason I put corona here is because I believe this was their crown jewel. Corona was their crown jewel. It was the one that was pushing the mark of the beast and the great reset that Klaus Schwab, or whatever his name is, wanted to push to bring us all under the mark of the beast. But what's happening? Well, we're coming into Purim here pretty quick at the end of this month. I think it's the 25th, something like that. What happened at Purim? That's when Haman was hung on the gallows. All the things they've tried to leash on us to kill us is now turning around on them, and they are the ones that are suffering. They're the ones that are getting it back the way they gave it to us. All right. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. That's not us. I think the third means 33-degree Mason. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three were the third part of men killed by fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. Their tails were like unto scorpions in their heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not. Now, we're talking here, this is not God's people, they're sealed. This is the cabal coming down. And the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. In chapter 19, you see Jesus coming on his horse, and he's got a vesture dipped in blood. It's not his blood. It's the blood of these that don't repent. All right, one more. Corona means crown for anyone listening that's not aware of that. That's why I said I believe that corona was their crown jewel, is the big kahuna, if you want to say that, to take the world down. They did a pretty good job, didn't they? Look what happened in a year to our whole world over a scam. See, steal, kill, destroy. Satan's a liar, father of liars. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet were as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and the left foot on the earth. I just personally believe this is the transferring from Admiralty Maritime Law, the beast system that was under that law, to now back to our Republic Freedom Jubilee Reset. And he had his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that are therein are, and the sea and the things which therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. God's ready to give us back our freedom. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I ate it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So, we're declaring the message tonight that John declared. John prophesied the information to wake us up, and then the church began to stand up against the beast. Now, I didn't write the Levitch that. I'll just read this part here. This is chapter 11, where the angel goes and measures the temple. But in verse 15, it says that the last trumpet, this is the seventh trumpet, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. All right. We've given Father back jurisdiction. His time is no longer, so now that earth lease has run out. Now we're living in a new dispensation. All right, a couple more scriptures and then I'm done. Psalms 115. Verse 16. The heaven, even the heaven, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. All right, one more, Philippians 2, 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They all will. Even the cabal. They will all confess that he's Lord. We're no longer victims. We're victors. Here's this thing I read Sunday about the devil. I'm going to read it again. It's by C.S. Lewis. One young devil asked the old man, how did you manage to bring so many souls to hell? The old devil answered, I instilled fear in them. Answers the youngster, great job. And what were they afraid of? Wars? Hunger? Answers the man, no, they were afraid of the disease. Does this mean they didn't get sick? Are they not dead? There was no rescue for them? The old man answered, but no, they got sick, died, and the rescue was there. The young devil, surprised, answered, then I don't understand. The old man answered, you know they believe the only thing they have to keep at any cost is their lives. They stopped hugging, greeting each other. They've moved away from each other. They gave up all social contacts and everything that was human. Later, they ran out of money, lost their job, but that was their choice because they were afraid for their lives. That's why they quit their jobs without even having bread. They believed blindly everything they heard and read in the papers. They gave up their freedoms. They didn't leave their own homes literally anywhere, anymore, or anywhere. They stopped visiting family and friends. The world turned into such a concentration camp without forcing them into captivity. They accepted everything just to live at least one more miserable day, and so living, they died every day. And that's how it was very easy for me to take their miserable souls to hell. And here's one I thought was excellent. It's the cabal on the back. See the men underneath? There's people underneath bowed down, and the cabal is playing Monopoly on their backs. And this is what it says. All we have to do is stand up, and their little game is over. And that's what's happening. God's people are standing up and taking it back, and they're losing their ground, and they're coming down.